Morning. Thank you for coming to hear the message of the gospel. We're going to be reading on several passages today. So if you have your Bible, you can read them with me. Message of the gospel should be easy because salvation plan is simple. That's the way God designed salvation. And this message is not something that I have made up or someone else made it up. It's a message that comes from the Word of God. So I would like to see where in the Word of God is this plan of salvation. There are pretty simple couple single things that I would like to point out. The first one is that we are sinners and God is holy. And there is a gap between man and God. And we need to make things right with Him in order to be with Him in heaven. And that could only be achieved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the plan that God has for us. That is the message of the gospel. So let's begin reading in Romans chapter 3, the New Testament. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. Romans 3:20 says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." This is the first verse that we're going to be reading, and it talks about how we are sinners. And that is the first point that we need to know to recognize in order to be saved. We are sinners. It says that For the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified, because the law is the knowledge of sin. In other words, when you have the law and it tells you not to kill someone, you have the law and it tells you not to lie. There is going to be a point in your life when you're going to break a commandment, or you're going to fall short of the law. And that is going to give you the knowledge of your sin. When you disobey, when you know that you are doing something wrong, it's like something pointing out that you are a sinner. No man in this planet, in all the history of the planet, has kept the law except for the Lord Jesus Christ. You can take a look at the Ten Commandments, take a look at the Bible, and compare it with your life, and you can see how you've broken almost every day something in the law. And that is that what gives you the knowledge of your sin. It's like a light pointing out in your life when you can say, "Oh, I did this wrong." It's like a moral standard when you have the parameters and you can see what is right and what is wrong. That is what the law is. And no man will ever be justified by doing these things, because no one is able to do that. You are always going to fall short. You are always going to fail on something. And that is just our nature. We have a sinful nature. That is what the law points out, that you are a sinner. Now let's read on verse 23, a couple of verses down. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." If you were still doubting that you were a sinner by comparing your life to the law and say, "I'm a pretty good person." Verse 23 says the opposite thing. "For all have sinned." That includes you and that includes me and that includes everyone on this planet. Since day one till today, everyone has sinned. And that is the very first thing that you have to notice and you have to understand in order to get saved. Because we are sinners. That is our nature. And God is holy, and we cannot be in His presence like that. So the first point is that. to know that you are a sinner. But it's very different to say, yes, we all are sinners, than to say, I am a sinner. Because it is quite difficult to accept that personally, I am not good enough to be in his presence. It's easier to point out someone else, but when it comes to yourself, it's like that pride in you that doesn't let you recognize that, that doesn't let you be right with God. But that is the first point. You are a sinner, and I am a sinner. And I'm not trying by any ways to offend you or to make you feel bad about yourself, but that's just the way it is. How different would the world be without sin? You wouldn't even need to lock your door at night. That's just the way the world is. Like a brother Paul was saying days ago, people sin as much here and people sin here as much as in Philadelphia or China or Mexico or wherever. It's a worldwide condition. Every human being has this condition, and that is you and that is me. So just to see the contrast, let's look to Revelation chapter 15 and verse 4, the last book of the Bible. Revelation 15, 4. It says, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For only thou art holy. We want to point out this phrase right here. Only thou art holy. Can you see the contrast of an almighty God who has no relation whatsoever with sin, who is separate from sin, and we are sinners? Can you see the contrast in there? A holy God and a sinful man. That is why there is a gap between God and man, and that is sin. That is what's stopping you from going to heaven, because God is just and he has to punish the sin. And if it's a worldwide condition, how can any man go to heaven then? Well, that's where the third part of the plan comes in. Now let's turn to John, the Gospel of John in chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 16. That is the plan that God has for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is a very well-known verse. And that is because it tells you so clearly what the Bible has to say in regard to salvation. Now, I heard someone else say that if you need a guru to tell you what the Bible says, it would be a cult. The Bible is so clear that you can read it for yourself and see what God has for you. What you have to do to be saved, it is here in the Word of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He so loved the world, he loved you and he loved me. And he was willing to give his only Son to die on the cross for you and to pay for your sins. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The only thing you have to do is believe on that sacrifice that he did on the cross of Calvary. That is the only thing you have to do. And that is the message of salvation. And this morning I would like to ask you this simple question. Are you saved? If you were to die tonight, where would you wake up? In heaven or in hell? Where would you be? Do you have that security, that peace of mind of knowing When I die, I'm going to be in heaven because the Lord died for me. Where would you be? Do you have a moment in your life when you know, oh, I got my sins forgiven this day? I can remember. It's not like I've been saved since the day I was born. It's not like I'm going to be in heaven just because something, you know? Do you have a car? Do you remember the day you bought it? That was the day when you took possession of that object. It's not like you've always had it. Same thing with salvation. Do you have the day when you know, when you can look back and say, oh, this day I trusted him as my savior? All you have to do is believe, and today could be the day. Today could be the morning when you make a 180 degrees turn from your life and say, I'm going to heaven instead of going to hell. That is the plan that God has for you. Now, let's turn to Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Luke 19 and verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. We have another verse here that tells us the reason why the Son of Man came to this planet, to seek and to save. To save that little part in there. It's easy to say, but in order for him to do that, he had to go to the cross of Calvary. He had to be hanging from those nails on that wooden tree, paying for your sins and paying for my sins. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. You and I were lost. And if you have not received Christ as your Savior, you are still in that condition. You need to accept Christ as your Savior in order for you to go to heaven. The Bible is really clear on the message of salvation. He came down to earth to seek and to save that which was lost. It is not a message that I'm making up or I just figure it out or I found it. It's on the Bible. It's clear. So what's stopping you from being saved, from having your sins forgiven? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. I would like to read another verse in the Bible in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, for there is one God, and what mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We have another verse. There is only one God and one mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus. That points out what I was telling you in the beginning. God is here and we are here. There is a gap between us. And that gap was fulfilled when Christ came into this world and he gave his life on the cross. He was the bridge that connected man with God. And that is the only mediator between God and man. There's no one else, there's nothing else. There's only one mediator, and that's Christ. And with that verse, you can throw away all the things that you may be thinking about salvation, that you can achieve through works, through sacrifices, by going to a church, by belonging to something like a club or a member of some church or whatever. All that has to go to the side. The only mediator is Christ, and he was the only one who gave his life for you. Are you saved? Have you trusted in that sacrifice? Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." Not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. There is nothing that you can do for yourself. Salvation is a gift. It's a gift. And if you don't have that gift, if you don't have that day when you trusted Christ as your Savior, you are on your way to condemnation. Maybe what's really stopping you from being saved is not that you don't know how to be saved. It's probably that you are used to be living in this world, going up at night and waking up the next morning like nothing happens. Maybe it's not that you don't know how to be saved, how to get saved. It's that you don't know the danger that you are in. Because the moment when Christ comes, we don't know it. And you don't know when you're going to die. And if you're not prepared, death could surprise you and you will lose your opportunity. That is why the only chance that you have is right now, because you are not sure of tomorrow. When I was a kid, personally, I listened to the gospel message over and over again. And probably if they made a test on me and asked for these verses or these facts of the Bible, I would probably answer all those questions right. Because I knew about salvation, but I wasn't saved. It's two different things to know about salvation and to really be saved. So I want to ask you this morning again, are you saved? And if the answer is no, I want to point out that you are in danger, because you don't know when that day is going to come, when your days on this planet are over. I used to think that when I was about to die, like I've mentioned before here, when I would be on my way to the hospital about to die, I would accept Christ, since I already knew how to be saved, how to have my sins forgiven. But I don't know how I'm gonna die. I don't know if I'm gonna be on my way to the hospital. It could be like this. Or Christ could come before I die, and my opportunity would be over. So if you don't know when you're gonna die, that means that today is the only moment that you have, because you don't know about tomorrow. And I was in my room that night, and I was reading a book, and I realized three things. That I was a sinner, that God loved me, and that God sent his Son to the cross of Calvary to pay for my sins. And that all I had to do was trust in him and accept him, because everything else was already done. I didn't have to do anything else. And that day I closed my eyes and I prayed to God and asked him for mercy. And I told him that I didn't want to go to hell. That I trusted Christ as my Savior. And from that day, the Bible says I had my sins forgiven. And this could be the day that you remember like that if you are not saved. If you think about it, it's pretty amazing to see how long it's been since the day Christ died on the cross. Almost 2,000 years ago. That's how long it's been since salvation is ready for you. Like, it's been waiting all that long, and today you have that chance to make it yours. This message is not man-made. This message is relevant to you because we all are sinners, like we read. And this message doesn't change. This message needs to be made personal by you, because no one else can decide the future of your soul. Only you can. No one else will make or can make the choice for you. And today you are hearing the message again. I'm pretty sure that you've heard it before, but have you made it yours? Have you made it yours? I'm not sure if you will hear it again, or I'm not sure if you will have the chance again. But today is a day, and right now is a moment. We have an almighty God. He knows your thoughts. He knows what you're thinking. He knows your heart. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to come to the front. The Bible we read says, believe in him and you will be saved. There are several verses on the Bible that tells you how to be saved. Acts chapter 16 and verse 31 says, and they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Just believe, because everything is already done. All you have to do is believe. Nothing else can take away the sin from your soul, only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the message of salvation, and that is the message that we preach to you. And you can read it on the Bible. You can ask for more verses. You can look it up. It's all over the Bible. Salvation is clear. Salvation is simple. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You will have your sins forgiven. And that is the message of the gospel. That is a message that's been going on since day one. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. I hope that you go home tonight with that security in your heart, that whatever happens tomorrow, whether you live or you die, you will go to heaven. I don't know how you can sleep at night knowing that you may wake up in hell. There's nothing compared to that security and to that peace of knowing that you will have an eternity with him in heaven. That is something else. And you could be sure of that because it is in the Bible. You could be sure of that because it's not going to fail you, because you are not trusting in someone, in a man, or religion. You're trusting and you're putting your faith on an almighty God. Today could be your day. You don't know about tomorrow. Are you saved? Are you saved? I cannot say that. I can say that many times, but you only need one. And really think about it. Are you saved? If you are not, today is a moment. Let us pray.
Padre Santo, entramos delante de tu presencia una vez más y queremos agradecerte, Señor, por el mensaje del Evangelio. Como es un mensaje simple, Padre, de que nosotros somos pecadores y no podemos estar delante de tu presencia en esta condición. Te damos las gracias, Padre, por el plan de salvación que tú has provisto para nosotros y te agradecemos, Señor, de que aún está vigente, aún tenemos la oportunidad de aceptar a Cristo como nuestro Salvador. Gracias, Señor, por esta gran misericordia que has tenido con nosotros, porque no lo merecíamos, Padre. Fue simplemente la gracia y el amor que tuviste hacia nosotros. Te pedimos, Padre, también por las personas, si hay alguien aquí en esta mañana que no tiene a Cristo como su Salvador, para que hoy sea el momento y el día donde pueda llegar a ese entendimiento de que necesita a Cristo y necesita tener sus pecados perdonados. Te agradecemos de nuevo por todo esto y te las damos las gracias en el nombre de nuestro Señor Jesucristo. Amén.